Welcome to the Wheel With It podcast with your host, Devin Wieters. We're a community that is committed to celebrating diversity and inclusion, providing and promoting disability education and awareness, and having fun too. Remember to rate and review the podcast and enjoy the show.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. Today, we have a very special episode for you. We have the mother behind one of the cutest Instagram accounts I have ever seen, the Love for Louie. That's the number four Instagram account. She was delightful. This was so much fun, this conversation. And I hope you enjoy it. So here's my conversation with Emmy Brown, otherwise known as the mom behind Love for Louie. Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Wheel With It. I am Devin Wieters, and today we have our guest.
My name's Emmy Brown. My son is Louie Brown.
So she is here with us today because her Love for Louie Instagram account makes my day pretty much every time I see it. It is the cutest Instagram I have ever seen. So I was like, I have to have these people on the pod. So Emmy, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. First of all, tell us about yourself and we'll go from there.
Yeah, my husband and I have been married for about 6 years, and a couple years ago, we didn't think we were able to have kids, and we got pregnant with Louie, and we were super excited, and about halfway through the pregnancy, we found out that Louie was going to have some physical limitations, and they weren't sure what that was going to look like until he was born, and they weren't even sure if he was going to make it full term, and it wasn't until my due date and he arrived that we found out that he was perfectly healthy, that he just had some lower limb issues and he has ectrodactyly of the hands. But yeah, he's a perfectly healthy, thriving little boy. He's 2.5 now, and we're navigating what it means to be raising a child with disability. He's doing really well. He walks with prosthetics.
So tell me about like when you first found out what that was like, and then how you went through the process of, okay, deciding we're going to amputate his legs and all of that.
Yeah. So at the 20-week ultrasound, like where most people go to find out, they're so excited. Oh, is it going to be a boy or a girl? That appointment ended up being very traumatic and life-altering for us as we found out he was a boy and we were very excited. But in that same breath, the tech who was doing the ultrasound was like very concerned and explained to us that there's definitely some issues with the baby. Come to find out, they did an amniocentesis and ran some tests because they weren't able to tell us on the spot what all that looked like, what all that meant. But they had told us that it could be fatal based off of what they could see on the ultrasound. And we were obviously devastated and heartbroken and in shock. And we knew based off of what the doctor had said that if he were to survive the pregnancy and to be able to be born, that his life would definitely be one with lots of challenges. Yeah, we were just in complete shock, but also trying to be like, okay, here we are, buckle up. We got to figure out what this looks like.
So at what point did you make the decision? Because he ended up being born without tibias, right? At what point did you make the decision to amputate the legs and go on that journey?
Yeah, so when I was pregnant, they actually thought that it was just he was missing the fibular bone in both legs, which when that happens, sometimes doctors and surgeons can opt to keep the legs and just do reconstructive surgery and do rods and different things. And so we were like, oh, maybe we're not going to have to go the route of amputation. But when he was born, we found out after doing x-rays that it was actually the tibia bones. And after a couple months of talking to a couple other families that we had met who also had children with similar condition, and even some adults who were born with the same condition, like unanimously, they all said, you need to amputate. The prosthetic world has so many amazing advancements and technology, and that he will live a very full life. So, yeah.
So tell me about, and I can relate to this. So tell me about all the therapies that you guys have had to go through. Did you know that there was that much therapy that could be done?
No, not at all. We've been very thankful. We live in a big city. We've been very blessed that we have the resources we do, because I know that's not everyone's situation.
No, it is not.
No. And even the community and the connections, like even if we didn't have the therapy and the doctors that we do, like on top of all the other things, we have an amazing community of support within just the amputee world and the people who have disabilities that have been able to come alongside us and help us and show us what it means. Yeah.
So how often does Louie have therapy, and how long will we have it? What kind of things you guys work on? All of that stuff.
Yeah. Right now he is in physical therapy every week. We go every single week, same time, and he has therapy for about an hour, and it's pretty intense. Like when people ask me, I'm like, it kind of reminds me of if a baby or a toddler could do CrossFit.
Yes. That is an accurate description. Only somebody who's been there could say that, because that's 1,000% accurate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a lot of work. They make it fun because obviously he's a toddler, but it's a lot of work. He breaks a sweat every single week.
Yeah. I keep saying Justin's captions like, oh my gosh, how is he doing this? His captions are so cute.
Yes.
Does Justin do the captions, or do you do the captions for the Instagram?
I do them. He ends up being the star of most of the videos, because I usually am the one who's trying to catch the action. So he's always the one that's jumping in, like cheering him on. And actually the video that we recorded when he got his newest set of prosthetics, which is the running blades and the knee joints, we were shocked one day because we were like, he had just gotten them and he hadn't taken any steps. And that was the video that actually went viral of Louie walking with his running blades for the first time, was him walking to Justin. And we were like, totally in shock, because every day leading up to it, he was like very skittish and very unsure. And then he just decided, I'm ready to do it. And he took off walking, and we were like, what?
Yeah, it's just like any normal child. They are skittish, and then when they decide they're ready to walk or roll, they rock and roll, and you're just like, what?
Yep, when they're ready.
So what made you decide that you were going to document like this journey and whatever?
Yeah, so when we first found out that we were pregnant with Louie, and we have an amazing family and network of friends, and they were all so excited because they knew how much we wanted children. And we had just adopted, or we were in the process of adopting our oldest two sons. So we were like, oh my gosh, yay, like all the kids. And so we had so many people that were so excited for us. And so naturally, when we found out the devastating news, like so many more people rallied around us. And because of how sensitive and like overwhelmed we were throughout the pregnancy, a lot of people were calling and texting and like emailing and just reaching out, like trying to encourage us and say they're praying for us and praying for Louie. And we were just in such a hard place because we were devastated, that actually my mother was like, why don't we just get an Instagram and we can post updates about the pregnancy and about Louie, so it could alleviate like people who are looking to help support us and pray for us, but maybe not contact us when we're in the middle of grieving or not knowing what's going on with Louie. So the page started as a way to keep people informed about Louie updates. And then like when we found out he was going to be okay, we just kept, he's doing great. Look, he's doing this now. And now he's doing this. And now it's turned into like a fun way for us to spread some love and joy and hope for people who are either in the disability community or just people who are just need some encouragement of a cute little boy who's working hard.
And he is adorable. Oh my gosh. He's my favorite Instagram account ever.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So you wake up one day and this goes viral. Are you guys, what do we do now?
So I'm not tech savvy at all. Like it is only because of Lou's story that we even have a platform, if you will. And so I was like, I didn't even know. I think, who was it that sent it? One of my friends was like online and was like, did you realize that this is all over the internet? And they were like, it's on TikTok and all this stuff. And I was like, what's TikTok? So it's pretty funny. And like, as soon as I got an initial message from someone telling me they saw it on something. Then I found out, then we got contacted by a couple news articles being like, they wanted to write a story. And I was like, what is happening? So yeah, I just took off.
What's been like the most surprising thing that's come out of all of this?
That's tough. The most surprising thing. I think for our family or Louis personally is just how strong he is and how resilient he is. Nothing stops him. But as far as like just his story in general and how it's reached people, we've been really blessed and humbled to see how many people's lives have been impacted just by him, his life. And it's been really cool to watch.
So have you been on any like huge, big shows because of this or?
Oh, no. Okay. We've been in a few like articles and we're actually, there's supposed to be a couple, we've been interviewed a couple times for a couple magazine articles that are supposed to be coming out in the next month or two. And there's been a few, like Good Morning America reached out to us at one point. And my husband and I were both like, oh, that's so cool. But we want to wait for some of that until he's a little bit older because we want him to be able to share his story. And he's, I'll bring him in before we're done so you can see him. But he's still so little, he doesn't understand it. And we want some of that to be part of him being able to share.
Yeah. His Because you always want the child to be able to share their experience. I think it's smart that you guys waited.
Yeah.
Do you plan to show him the account when he gets older or no?
Oh, yeah. And as he gets older too, I think we did not expect for it to take off like this. And so as much as it's really fun right now, as he gets older, if it becomes overwhelming for him or something he's not really into, we will pull back. I can just let it be his thing that he either does or doesn't do. I imagine though, with the way that direction of like social media and people using platforms to tell their story, I have a feeling he's going to think it's really cool and he'll probably want to be a part of it, but we'll leave the ball on his court as he gets older.
And that's why there's a delete button. You can delete all the posts that are too embarrassing for him.
Absolutely. So. I was in a diaper. Why did you put me in there? Or I was crying or whatever. I'm like, okay, that's that.
So what is Louis like into outside of all this therapy and stuff?
Yeah, he's very much a normal toddler. So his obsessions as of right now are anything that gets him ice cream, donuts, or burgers. He is obsessed with burgers. He loves cars and being outside and Elmo. Those are the top list of Louis things.
Minus the Elmo, I agree with that list. Who can go wrong with donuts, ice cream, and burgers?
That's right.
What's next for Louis as far as his prosthetics and his life and everything?
Yeah, he's crying. I hear him outside. He is actually, this next week, we're flying back to Orlando. We have been able to partner with, I'll bring him in really quick. He's coming up right now. Hi, Leo. Can you say hi?
Hi, Leo. You were so cute.
Can you say thank you? Thank you. Yeah. This is Devin. We say hi, Devin.
Hi,
Diana. Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, we're actually flying down this weekend to go back to the clinic. It's called POA. His current prosthetics that he got back in December are not fitting as great as they should, which is pretty normal for a kid his age. They grow so much. So they're going to make some adjustments so that his prosthetics are working well again. So we're going to Orlando this weekend to get new ones. We live in Ohio, actually, so we're not close to Florida at all, but we'll be down there quite a bit because that's where his clinic is.
How did you guys find the clinic in Florida?
Yeah, we found the clinic. So he's a part of an organization called the Jordan Amen. Thomas Foundation. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a light. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
Yeah, the phone goes in there. He's a part of an organization called the Jordan Thomas Foundation, which they work with families for kiddos who need prosthetics because insurance actually doesn't cover activity legs, which every kid deserves to be able to run around. So they have tons of limitations as far as families that can't afford to pay for prosthetics multiple times a year. It gets pretty expensive. So he's a part of that foundation. And they partner with POA, the clinic in Orlando, and they actually pay for Louie's prosthetics, which is a huge blessing. So to tons of families, not just ours.
So tell us about, do you know how that foundation got started and how people can donate if they want to?
Yes, there is a guy named Jordan Thomas who actually, when he was a teenager, was in a boating accident and lost his legs to the accident. And he realized the need for families to have access to prosthetics so that kids can live healthy, active lives. So he's actually the one that founded the foundation, and they now have over 100 kiddos that they work with to get them access to the prosthetics that they need. So it's pretty amazing.
And we'll put the link in the show notes for people that want to donate. But what I was saying is I will reach out to you guys. And if we're ever in Florida at the same time, absolutely, we would love to hang out, because I want to hang out with you guys, because you guys seem like the nicest people.
Oh, so that's so sweet. We don't know strangers. So if you, if you're ever in Orlando, that's right. Yeah, is that right? We do not know a stranger, huh?
What do you want to be when you grow up, Louie?
To this.
Are you playing with the computer? What do you want to do? Huh? You're just smiling. See, I'm very into excavators. Huh? Are you into excavators?
No.
No, you're not. Are you playing with the computer instead of looking at the screen now? I don't know. He's very shy, but also once he warms up, he's very friendly and social. So I definitely think he'll have a job that he is with people a lot. I could definitely see him using like his story to, you want to get down, to help other people. But I don't know what that looks like. Whatever he's interested in. Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants to.
Yeah.
So I heard about y'all's account through somebody called Noelle Lambert. Have you guys heard of her?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you have to look her up. Louie is going to love her. She she was on the 43rd season of Survivor. And what's her name? Noelle Lambert.
Oh, you know what? I think we follow her.
Yeah.
What season was she on?
43.
Yes, that sounds familiar. Yep, because we just got into Survivor recently, which is really funny. We haven't made it to that season yet, but now I'm even more excited.
Yes, and she is incredible. I borderline stalked her to get her on here, and we're still working on it, but she's incredible. So yeah, definitely go watch that. What advice would you give to other people out there that are raising special needs kids?
Ooh. It's tough. I think among many things that I would say, one of them would be that we put limits on our kids more than they put on themselves. I constantly find myself thinking, oh, we need to make an accommodation, or, oh, that's going to be too challenging for him, or he's not ready. And then when we let him go, he figures it out and he can do anything that he puts his mind to. And it really constantly blows us away what he's able to accomplish. So I feel like we as parents end up limiting them more than we need to.
Yes. And as Louie gets older, there are going to be some people that look at him differently. How are you going to teach him to handle that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we've already come up against that a little bit. And I just like how with us thinking that he has limitations that he doesn't, he takes it in stride. Like he just takes it. And I think it's just a matter of teaching our kid, like all of us teaching our kids and those around us, that we all have unique, special things that make us different, but it's those differences that really bring people together. And it ends up being some of our most redeeming qualities, because we all have our own way of doing things and our own way of bringing people together with that. And so when I think about things that in our eyes that we see as limitations, Louie figures out a way to do it, and it ends up being really cool. Or he makes an adaptation that I'm like, oh, I would have never thought about doing that. And I've even noticed even when he's at the park and we take his legs off so that he can climb better, and he'll be like pulling himself up, like full on muscle up his whole body. And people are like looking at him like, is that safe? How is he doing that? And then they're like also looking and they're like, he doesn't have legs. This is crazy. And then I'm just standing there just smiling. Oh, just another day with Lou. And they're like, what is happening? And people ask questions. And I always tell people too, we welcome like questions. We know that people do a double take when they see him, and we just smile and we're like, yeah, he's pretty cool. And then we just explain, you know, his legs that he was born with just didn't work. And now he has legs that work really great. And we have amazing doctors and amazing people who have all this knowledge and are able to give him a really full life, just like you.
Yeah. And I have people when I go out in public, like stare and look at me. And then like, there was this one lady that asked me if I knew my name, not what my name was, but if I knew my name. And yes. And she was talking down to me. And then I told her, I've applied to 3 colleges. I've graduated now, but it was like before I was transferring from my community college to a 4-year. And I said, I've applied to 3 colleges. And she was like, oh, that's cool. And so, yeah, it's just all about just gently and politely educating them.
Yeah, because I even think sometimes too, people have the best intentions and they just don't know. They just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. And we always welcome, even when people ask questions and it can come off really offensive. I'm like, this probably is the first toddler they've seen that does not have legs. And it probably is really difficult for them to understand. And so we even have little kids, because he also has ectrodactyly. So he's missing his middle digit on his fingers. And then his thumb and pointer finger are fused together. And so a lot of kids will notice that when they're like coloring next to him or playing. And I'm always like, yeah, all of our friends are all of our fingers are friends. And Louis just decided to stick together. And the kids are like, oh, okay. And I'm like, that's how I explain it to little kids. And they're just like, super, okay, his hands are cool.
That is the greatest way of explaining it I've ever heard. I'm going to tell my doctor that one when we show. That is amazing.
Sometimes it's easier for kids to just keep it simple. If an adult asks, I'll explain, oh, he has ectrodactyly and he's missing the digits, this digit and blah, 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 blah. But kids, I'm like.
Yeah, kids are fun. Kids are cool. Yeah. They're just like, okay, and then to just go. So what is like the kind of the craziest story that you've had while out in public? Because I love to ask people like what kind of crazy stuff they have.
Trying to think. We've had a couple incidences where, so we are Christ followers, and so we are always like very open about how Louis was definitely a miracle baby and how like God has really used his story to touch people and really give hope to people who are in desperate situations, I think. And so there was one time we were out and this lady was taken aback, like looking at him like, oh my gosh. And she just asked us like, what's the story? And we of course just told her like, this is a situation and he's perfectly healthy and he's a wonderful baby and well, toddler now, but, and she just broke down. And she had shared that her daughter was going through something similar with her baby. And she had never heard anyone in the same situation and how they were feeling so hopeless. And they were thinking about terminating the pregnancy because they just didn't know if they could handle like all the things that came with raising a child with disability. And she was like, she just was very emotional. Obviously, it's a very hard thing to figure out and navigate. And I shared our story and she had told me that she was like, we had connected and now they have a baby and they're raising the baby and they're navigating it all and they're doing really well and their kid's thriving. And that was those situations are really crazy and humbling because it's like, we're just a family trying to do the best we can. And our son's story like changed the trajectory of that kid's life. We've had crazy stuff like that.
That is like the best situation though. Like that, when you can help other people and you don't even know like that you're going to, you just do. It's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, no one wants to be alone. And when you're going through hard stuff, whatever it is. So yeah, we've been able to like help people in that way with our story. And like, we've also had crazy stuff happen. Like when he's wearing prosthetics and people are looking at him and they're like, how is he doing that? And I'm like, honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah. Like people are like, how do you drive that thing? I'm like, I just do. You're just learn. And if I explained it to you, you probably wouldn't understand anyway, because you've never been in a chair.
Yep. You just figure it out.
So what do you think needs to be done to provide more resources to young families that are facing kids with disabilities?
I've been really encouraged. I feel like even since we had Louie, like, it has come leaps and bounds. It's definitely not where it should be, like, at all. But
it's definitely not. We can get into a whole conversation about the Medicaid waivers, but that's a whole nother podcast.
That's a whole thing. I would love to see one specifically because I have seen it with the families that we have gotten to know within, like, just prosthetics in general. Like, we're trying to figure out now because of some of our friends are in different states and they're doing stuff with legislation and trying to, like, make reforms so that kids have access to prosthetics that actually help them function.
Work. Yes.
Yeah. Like, kids deserve to be able to run. That's a normal. Kids who are amputees should be able to have access to prosthetics that can help them walk and run and play. So I think there's lots of progress still to be made within, like, insurance and for lots of things with people with disabilities in general.
Yes.
But even I think about when he does wear his prosthetics, we actually have a handicap sticker so that when he has it on, we don't have to be like, when we go to the zoo, we're not parking a mile away and he has to walk all the way just to get to the zoo entrance. But there are so many places that we go where he puts his prosthetics on and he has them on for 5 minutes. And I'm like, he can't walk anywhere here because there's no ramps. There's no, everything's steep or there's stairs everywhere. And we live in a big city with, like, tons of resources. So I know if it's a problem here, it's a problem in small towns and other big cities.
Oh my gosh. Like, I want to have somebody from, do you know that place, Appalachia? And they're like, I don't know what percentage of them live below the poverty line. I want to have somebody with a disability from a place like that on here and hear about how hard it is for them, because if it's that hard for us, because I am the same thing, they must be crazy. So.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine. So that's some things that I'm always like, we'll go places and I'm like, this is not good. I even think he's 2.5 and we'll be at parks. And like for every, we go to a park, like multiple parks a week. And I want to say 1 out of 6 have adaptive or anything that's inclusive for people who have any kind of disability. There's no wheelchair swing. It's ridiculous. And sometimes I'm like,
it is ridiculous.
Yeah. So, yep.
So yes, it is.
There's lots of things that we'd love to see improve, like across the board, is more access for kiddos who have limb differences or just have any kind of disability that they could have access to be able to live full lives.
And it has a great psychological effect on them too, because if they're excluded from everything, they're like, why am I different? But if they're included, I'm just like everybody else.
Yep. And it all goes full circle because not only do they feel more included and it helps their social emotional needs, it also helps kids who are able-bodied because they're like, this kid can keep up with me and do exact same things just in a different way. So it's better for everyone.
Yes, I joke. I wish I had Noelle when I was younger because I put so many limitations on myself. And then I saw her and I was like, there goes those limitations. So yeah, it's all about, and my parents did a great job. My parents are awesome. They can only do so much.
Yep.
So tell me about the role that faith has played in all of this.
Yeah, I think it's easy to look back now because Louie's here and he's healthy and he's thriving and it doesn't seem so heavy now. But when we found out, when we didn't have a diagnosis, but we thought that whatever was going on with his body was fatal, I was severely depressed for most of our pregnancy and we were definitely in survival mode as a family, just trying to figure out, okay, I don't know if our son's going to survive and what is his quality of life going to be? How are we going to give him a full life and all this kind of stuff? And when I was in the thick of just navigating depression throughout the pregnancy, there were so many times where I felt the Lord's presence and his peace that made no sense considering we were only being told that it might be fatal. And every time I would get overwhelmed, I would just feel God's peace and his just is reminding us that it's going to be okay, and that I have Louis's life in my hands, and that regardless of what the outcome is, it's going to be okay. And that we really did feel like we just had hope that regardless, I think we both really believed that he was going to make it. And he did. And he's on his Instagram. He's just a thriving little boy. And as we've navigated life with raising a child with a disability and all the things that comes with that, therapies and making adjustments, like he has a custom bed so that he can get in and out safely, and but also keeps him safe. So had a custom built, and we're looking into accommodations we can make for the car because he wants to be able to get in and out on his own, but it's not safe right now. So all that kind of stuff, we're just constantly reminded how blessed we are. And it's not because of anything we've done. It's only because we just have an amazing God who has just taken care of his needs. So
it's like more than you ask, think, or imagine, that birth. So
yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So for the car accommodations, I recommend you look up Braun Ability and Mobility Works. I don't know if there's a Mobility Works in y'all's state, but there's got to be someplace somewhere that does all the accommodations for the car. And be prepared. It's expensive. So,
earlier when you were talking about what improvements can be made, that's one of them.
We know things have to cost money, but the expense is just criminal. I'm sorry.
It is. And that's why people who even get the knowledge of what's out there, then they look at the price tag and they're like, I would have to take out a second mortgage to be able to get a car that accommodates my child. You know what I mean?
I'm like, if I need a new van and my parents, God forbid, are gone, I don't know how I'm going to get one. Yeah. Can you give us a rough idea of how much the running blades cost without insurance and everything?
I honestly have no idea, but I do. And there's also a wide range because, I have some idea. So it depends on how custom you go, because there are some prosthetics that we've looked at that we're like, oh my gosh, one day it's like our bucket list dream, legs for Louis. And we're like, that will take a miracle for us to be able to get those for him, but it would be really cool. There's this specific time, it's called an Otterbach, and it's a very specialized prosthetic. And there's all these different technologies that they're coming up with now that are amazing. And so the range can be anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000. And so
look up the Born to Run Foundation. That's Noelle's that one Foundation. I heard of. Yeah. So
there's so many. It's crazy the amount of just people who are trying to make an impact in the disability world.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we love those charities, but those charities can only do, so much. It should be cheaper than what it is, but.
Everything about JTF, who work with us with Louis, they have over 100 kiddos that they are supporting. But I there's thousands and thousands of kiddos just in America alone who have these, need help with prosthetics. And they're not all getting their needs met. And so it breaks my heart. Everyone has the access that we do or knows about it.
It's crazy how expensive stuff is. Is there anything you want to add before we get off here?
I'm always just super excited because Louis is 2.5 and he has his whole life ahead of him. And I feel like we're not even scratching the surface of the connections and the knowledge, the stuff that we're learning and the people we don't even you, the people we've been able to meet and the stories we've been able to hear. As much as I know Louis' story is impacting lives, I feel like our lives are touched every single day by other people who are just kicking butt and making waves and all that kind of stuff. So
every time I think I can't, I open up Instagram and I was like, there's about 15 people who do it, but you have no excuse. I would love to keep in touch, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming on here, and we will see you guys next episode. Bye, guys. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Wheel With It. You can support the show by visiting our website, wheelwithit.com, following us on social media, and financially supporting us. You can find all those links in the show notes. See you next time.